All right, so I'm going to preach on how you use your flashlight, because that's what I got. And Matthew, pray. Bryce, can you pray for us?
Thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the people that showed up tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting everyone be up here and stand, Lord. You give them strength, Lord.
Yes.
You give them the words to speak, God. You would set them to a side, and Lord, you speak through them, Lord. Lord, you give them a little bit of stillness, Lord. You would calm his nerves, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you give him peace, Lord. In your holy name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, God.
Matthew 5, 16. You guys there? All right. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm going to only use a little part of this verse because I got flashlights on my mind. And how can you use your flashlight? And I preached a little bit of this on the bus when Brother Mike was calling us up to preach and when we were preaching down there, as Ronnie said. And if you're saved, you got a flashlight. God gave you a flashlight when you got saved. And your job is to go through the darkness because the world's dark.
Amen.
So, flashlight, I couldn't find a flashlight definition in my my dictionary. I guess it's one of them cheap ones. So, and, so the closest thing I can find is lighten, because that's what a flashlight does, is lighten the way. So lighten, to become or make brighter, to become or make less heavy or oppressive. So that kind of explains the whole thing.
Amen.
So that's what you're supposed to do. When you get saved, you're supposed to lighten the burden of others. You're supposed to encourage the brethren.
Amen.
So, if, 1 Corinthians, but, so, even people that saw Jesus and even walked with Jesus and saw him, even they fell asleep. So, the flashlight's got a switch on it and you can turn it off yourself. And so, if you're not in the book and you're not praying,
Amen.
And you're not getting encouraged and you're not trying to encourage yourself, David said he encouraged himself, or I think myself happy. That's the old saying. And 1 Corinthians 15:6 says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren, of whom the greater part remain to this day, but some are falling asleep. So even the people that saw him face to face, like I'm seeing Austin right now, people saw him and then they still fell asleep. So don't think that just because you got fired up or you're saved that your light's always going to be shining, because it's not, because you can shut it off.
Amen.
And then, if you in the water. Oh. Yeah, well, see what you do with a flashlight. If you turn if I shut all these lights off right now and it kind of turned pitch black, and I turn the flashlight on, where would you guys go?
Towards the light.
That's where you guys would go. You guys would go towards the light. That's because you can only see light. You can't see darkness because your eyes focus on light. That's how colors work and everything. So when you got your light on, say you do got your light on and you're encouraged and you're fired up, just watch where you lead people, because if you're in bad places.
Amen.
And you're near traps and stuff, warn people, because they might not know. And if you're not telling them, that's on your account, because you led them towards that. And last, if you got all this, say you got all this, you're like, man, then you need to brighten your light, because your light's only as bright as what you make it. You can put bigger batteries in it. You can charge it up.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How you brighten it, you got to get in your book. You got to get in your book and you got to get on your knees. And that's how you're going to brighten your flashlight. Because the brighter it gets is the more people can see you.
Amen.
And that's all I got.
Amen. Amen. Austin, you got something?
Yeah.
Come on.
Another thing I did get out of YouTube Blaze was kind of cool. Tony Shirley, he was saying how there was a verse in the Bible that said the sun actually goes up higher to the heavens. And it just now took science to actually catch up to the Bible that was written like thousands of years ago. So it's crazy. That's, you can see where the power of God is in his book, and he puts it higher than his head. So where I first want to start off at in my message is, how soon are you to wither away? And I'm going to start off in Matthew 21, verse 19. And Michael Shane, you mind if you pray for us?
Father, Lord, we thank you for our spirit tonight. I pray you help
please fill him with your power right
oh,
now.
Oh, God.
God, I pray that you calm Help. All nerves. God, I pray you set him aside and just speak through him, God. I pray that we get something out of it. God, I pray you touch our hearts, Lord. I pray that above all things, he lift you up tonight.
Amen.
I pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right. Well, right here, it's got Jesus' disciples, and he's following them. And it says in verse 19, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" So, you know, a lot of times you can see ourselves as like kind of a plant as we grow, you know, throughout our Christian life and our Christian walk.
Amen.
And it says, don't let people be, you know, ask, right in verse 20, it says, they ask, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Don't let people say, you know, kind of predict, oh, well, that teenager just came from Youth Ablaze. They're going to wither away soon. That fire is going to go out.
Yeah.
Let that Youth Ablaze stick and let that
Amen.
Go throughout.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can see it. One analogy I want to go is that, you know, the little fruit ornaments that people put in, like, baskets that are made out of plastic, they look like fruit, but once you start really getting to the depth of it, it ain't
right.
nothing towards fruit at all.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
And then I had in Mark 11:20. We'll go up to 19, and it says, "And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." So either you're going to put yourself out, or God's going to end it right there, because, you know, there's a verse that says, a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit, and,
yeah.
You know, you can fake it as you want, but in the end, God's going to snap you out one way or another. You're going to do it. And it's, you know, you can look at it as that a plant needs nutrients. And it will only live on nutrients if you have the right, you know, it's phosphate, nutrient, phosphate, nitrogen, and oxygen. And you know, that's the only way it's going to live. And
right.
Our nutrients is Bible right here,
Amen.
Prayer,
Amen.
And
yes,
just
sir.
Attending this church is how you get your nutrients, how you
Amen.
Succeed. And,
Amen.
You know, a plant... That plant was, you can look at it, it was a memorial. You know, can you imagine if, you know, you were fired up, you were doing right, you were serving the Lord, and then later on, people can see you as a memorial,
mm.
as a dead memorial, as they came across a dead tree that was withered away, and they remembered it, saying, oh, that tree, you know, I remember he was doing a little bit, but right now, he's not looking really good. His roots dried up. And
Amen.
That's how you get to a Christian, is it ain't based on what's outward. It's if you're getting the root of it, it's that's how you,
right.
you get a hold of it.
Amen.
And, you know, like I said, how would you feel if someday, you know, you're walking down and people are talking about you, well, you remember so-and-so? They were, but I ain't here anymore. So it's important. Just like Moses, they knew Moses was real when he came off Mount Sinai. His face was glowing. You don't have to turn there. But it was Exodus 34. Or you can turn there, bro. Yeah. Exodus 34:29. And it says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron, all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them." So he knew right off the bat, right there, is that, you know, Aaron, they saw, whoa, you know, just like that, you're supposed to be a light. And Moses had the light coming off of him. And, you know, that's what we need to walk. This world's dark. I mean, there's nothing that comes good from this world at all. And we need to be walking around with, you know, smiles on our faces. First off, I don't know if he had a bright face. Yeah, just like Earl over here. His smile all over his face all the time. And, you know, it's important that we show that, you know, God's been good to us,
yeah,
and for sure.
Amen.
And that if we got our roots right and we got the right nutrients coming in,
that's right.
You know, it's
yeah.
it means more than the outside that you can fake really shows. So then we'll skip back to Matthew 13:23. All right. And it says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is that he heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some and 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto him, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." So it's not all about, you know, where or what you're feeding your plant, but it's also about based on the ground that you're on. Amen. And, you know, if you're in, you're hanging out with, you know, wrong examples, people that are not doing right, and you're just sticking with them like, you know, nothing's wrong, later on, that ground is gonna get to you, cause right, you can't grow a perfectly good plant in sand, man. Like it's just not possible, or in rocks. Man. It's, you know, but just way out of this message I wanted to preach is that people that went to Youth Ablaze, and not even how it went to Youth Ablaze, I wanted them to just keep fired on and just keep going, cause man, don't be a memorial. So.
Amen. Amen.
Many years ago, when I was first starting to read the Bible, I always wondered, why did God not accept Cain's offering? Why did God hate Cain's offering? What was wrong about it? He gave something. My question, I always wondered, why was it so wrong? Let's see if we can get to that area. Says, "And it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground and offered unto God, and Abel brought forth of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." I was reading my Bible, started learning, reading in Exodus, where God, or Exodus and Numbers, God saying, "I want the first fruit, I want your first." And Pastor Ryan one night got me at Wednesday night and went over it again and read that verse. So first thing that Cain did not offer his first fruit. It says, in due time, he came and brought forth an offering. It says, in due time, he came in due time, in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, offering unto the Lord. But it says, Abel brought forth the firstlings of his flock. So Abel brought forth the fruit, first part of the fruit. Cain took time and then brought forth later. And then I was talking to Jesse one day about this verse, and something that's like, hey, I have this message idea. But it actually comes even further back to what Cain and Abel did with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, again, they took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But there was consequences for them doing that sin. It's just, and for Adam, for partaking with Eve, God said, put a curse on the ground. Says that when you make the, says, right. He cursed the ground. So you're going to have to labor. You're going to have to work. By the sweat of the brow you shall eat. So therefore, he cursed the ground to where he had to work to make something. And then Adam and Eve, when they did, after they sinned, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They tried to make something to cover their shame. Because they sinned. They did a sin. They did disobeyed God. They realized they were in their shame. So they tried to make something to cover themselves with fig leaves. But it was not enough. It couldn't cover themselves. So God killed a lamb, shedding of blood, gave them a coat which would cover them, cover their shame, cover their sin. That was God's way of redemption. Their sin, their shame was covered. Amen. By the blood of a lamb that God gave to that. So when Cain and Abel, back to Cain. First of all, Cain tried to offer to God in due time, in a process of time, something that he created, that he made, from something that was cursed. Right. So as a Christian, go out into the world, trying to make something, or something in my life trying to make something, because Pastor Runt, we were talking about a couple people tonight. Some people are going out from this church, or even me, something in my life. I'm trying to make something. I'm trying to plan things out. I'm trying to make things with my hands, my knowledge, my beliefs, and then try and present it unto God, say, hey, this is my sacrifice. This is what I'm trying to give to you, God. That's not right. That's from me. I'm cursed. This flesh is cursed.
Amen.
I'm sinful. My nature, but it says the heart of man is the desire to wickedness. Out of my own lust, am I making something? Because this is what I want to do. This is what I'm lusting after, trying to give it to God and expecting God to take it. No. What did Abel do? Abel gave the firstlings of a flock of an animal that God gave him. God gave him a life. God gave him a living thing. And Abel took it back to God and says, you gave me this. I want to give this thing to you, the first fruit. So me, God doesn't want my plans. God doesn't want what I can do. God says in the first part that I had to die. The thing that is in me had to die, that I had to die with Christ. I was raised incorruptible with his life. Myself, the me that used to be me, had to die.
Yeah.
By sinful nature, that sinful man.
Amen.
So it has no part in the new life. So I can't go back to it and try to make something out of it.
Amen.
No, I had to give God the new life what God gave me.
Amen.
The first fruit of my life. I have to give him my first.
Amen.
A lot of times we are lust involved. I said this morning that we are lust. The reason that Facebook is so bad, the reason why we preachers preach against it is because of our own lust, what we make it.
Amen.
We go on these things, or we go out into the world, we try to dress because of our own lust.
Right.
We dress wickedly because of our own lust. We go on Facebook, we say so many things because we want to complain, murmuring, sow discord. The things, the wicked of our flesh, the things that we desire to do is wrong.
Amen.
I'm just as guilty of it. I think sometimes knowledge, what I know, it's say, hey, I know this. I'm going to talk to you. All this. It's not my knowledge.
Amen.
That's wrong. It's God's word. God's love, God's knowledge.
Amen.
It's God using from me to you, not me. I have to give myself first. Got to destroy myself and just give God's word.
Amen.
Because God's word is pure.
Amen.
God's word is pure.
Amen.
Not my words. My words mean nothing. My words is the death. My words is the fig leaves or the fruit of from the ground. God's word is holy. God's word is pure, and God's calling is pure.
Amen.
We try to plan our own things. We try to plan things so much time, we plan God out of our own lives.
Right. Yes.
We plan God out of our own lives. We make sure we put to where he has no room to go in. Or he can't put his finger on something and say, I want to get rid of this, and our lives go crazy because our plans are disrupted. We have no plans anymore because we think God destroyed our plans. No, our plans were never valid.
Amen.
Our plans were never supposed to be. Our plans, it's good to do right. Because God says it's good to do right. Doing right is good. But God's omnipresent. He's past, present, and future.
Amen.
He knows what's going to go on in the future. He will take you things you never will, because he wants to take the thing that's in you, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
That dwells within you. That's him. He's going to move you to where he wants you to move you, where you can bring forth fruit and bring forth life. I can't go to a desert and expect something to grow in a desert when I don't bring something out there to plant in there. If I take an apple from a tree full of an orchard, if I take the apple, go out to a desert and plant an apple, if God takes something from here, brings them out there and puts them in the ground, then it can bring forth fruit. That forth will bring more fruit and more fruit and more fruit and bring from a desert to another apple orchard. That's God's word, not me. A lot of times we think, I'm a fruit. I'm going to fall on the ground. I'm going to roll to a desert. I'm going to get planted, and then I'm going to bring something up. No, the planter, the one who did it in the first place, because Earl just read the ground, says, he said he was the ground. He said the ground received him. He says, I'm a ground. I received the seed. I'm the good ground. I became good ground. I wanted to hear it. And that seed came in and brought forth fruit. So God takes his word. takes it over to the ground. Because remember, again, that fruit came from ground. That's it's not the ground. We don't glorify a ground for fruit. We like the fruit tree. The fruit from the tree is awesome. God says, you're just a vessel. The ground is a vessel. That desert is just a vessel. God takes his seed, puts it in the ground, and brings forth fruit. Amen. He's taking the tree, not the ground, from us. He's taking the life that's in us, going to another desert, planting the seed into that desert, and bringing it forth. So it's all it is. It's just God. It's not me. It's not the ground from over here.
Amen.
It's God.
Amen.
So thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.